This is the Well, Well, Well podcast with Cassandra and Britt, episode 75, How to Get Started and How to Get Finished with Ashley Stock. We are super excited to have Ashley back on the show with us today. She has come on 2 times prior and has given us such incredible messages that we loved and we know you loved too. And today's is no different. We pick Ashley's brain about how to get started on something and how to finish up. And this could be like a new goal that you have. It could be a new career. It could just be like your day in, day out, getting the things done that are on your list. And once you get started, actually following through and finishing. And Ashley has a large online platform called Little Miss Mama, where she shares and uplifts and inspires and connects with so many women. She also has a wellness community called Breathe and Bloom, where thousands of women are coached and inspired and uplifted by her. And so we thought she would be the perfect person to talk to about these two things. Our conversation kind of morphed into us talking to Ashley about some things that she is personally looking at in her career and in her life. And you know the Alice in Wonderland saying, I give myself very good advice, but I very seldom follow it. And so there was a little bit of that, a little bit of us telling Ashley to apply her own advice to herself. And then also Cassandra and I having an opportunity to kind of share some of the things we have been learning in coaching that also can kind of help and apply to what she was discussing with us today. So today you're going to get the first half of our conversation. It went a little long, and so we decided to break it into 2 parts so that it could be more digestible. So don't be sad and don't be alarmed when we leave you on a cliffhanger at the end of part one, where Ashley's asking us a very important question. We will pick up and complete this conversation in part 2. So come back for sure. And thanks for being here.
Well, 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 welcome to season 2 of the podcast. We can't think of anything better than conversations with our friends about all the wellness.
Let's chat about what the gurus are saying and enjoy a bev while we're at it.
We aren't experts, but we are your friends and we are here with you.
We are so glad you joined us. Okay, we are so happy we have Ashley Stock with us today. Ashley, Yay. Welcome to the show.
So excited to be here again with my favorite ladies.
We're so excited to have you. And
our third time with you.
Yes, we feel very thankful to be graced with your wisdom for a third time. Very often when we're in conversations with Ashley, just like in our normal life, we think this should have been recorded.
Everybody could have really benefited from that.
Yes.
Well, girls' night out. Something that has been so fun to witness, just like as the evolution of this podcast you two have built together, is that, you know, having the honor of knowing you both as best friends of mine, I knew the heart and purpose behind, you know, both of you creating this. And the entire idea was just making people feel like they were sitting around talking with real life friends and learning from each other and gaining value from that conversation. And so when you say it's like, well, we do this all the time, I'm like, yes. And that was exactly your guys' point of starting this podcast, was for it to feel that way. And here it is full circle. So,
well, yes. Thanks for helping us get there.
Well, you know.
Yes. And we've had so many people rave about their takeaways from the last episodes we've done with you. And so if you haven't heard those, if you're listening to Ashley with us for the first time, definitely go back.
Yes.
Reference our past episodes, episode 30, where we talk about jealousy.
Just the most comfortable topic to really open up about, isn't it?
Well, and, you know, I think we definitely outdo it with an even more uncomfortable topic at times, which is grief. And we covered that in episode 40, as Ashley's life journey has taken some twists and turns that were unexpected. And she so generously shared and vulnerably opened up about her experience. And so you definitely want to go back and listen to that one, because I think it was life-changing.
So, absolutely.
You know, some of hearing her experience and understanding her heart. So Ash, we're so thankful for all that you do to share with us. And
what uncomfortable thing do you want to talk about today?
Right? What is the most vulnerable topic I can think of? And let's dive right into that.
Many of you may know that Ashley has a booming business on her feed, Realness Mama, which started with a blog and has developed into quite the incredible platform. Yeah. She has built an incredible wellness community, and she also is just constantly offering us lifestyle hacks, really. And so if you don't follow her there, definitely go check that out. You will love listening to her. Her writing is really magical, and she constantly puts things into words in a way that has you saying, oh my gosh, yes, that's exactly how I feel too. Could have never said it like that, but she said it for me. And so,
yeah, I think last time you were on, Ash, we talked about like you helping us write the language of grief.
Yeah.
And like putting that into words, because it's such complicated feelings and emotions and thoughts. And little by little, you're helping us develop what that grief language looks like.
Yep.
So we can better communicate with people around us.
Yep.
It's Absolutely. It's funny that you say that, because for me, it's a foreign language as well. And I find that the only way that I can learn the language or better understand it is through that act of writing. So I'll start writing it and I have no idea what the lesson is. I have no idea what I'm trying to say. I'm struggling to put words to those feelings as well. And by the time I finish just the quick little paragraph, I'm like, oh, that's what I'm feeling. Okay. So that, you know, that exercise has been such a huge part of my healing journey, and one of the things that I feel really fortunate to share with other people, because it's just been part of my process through grief.
We're grateful for it. So before we launch into today's topic, what are you drinking?
I am drinking an Olipop this morning. My favorite flavor is the orange squeeze. And this is one of my favorite like soda alternatives, because you both know that I have a pretty serious love for soda, Diet Coke specifically. And that's a no-no here in this space, because there's nothing healthy about it, but I really love it. And so when I'm trying to be better, I need to reach for something carbonated that tastes good, but that's good for me. And Olipop has a bunch of prebiotics in it, which is really great for gut health as well. And the orange squeeze is like my favorite flavor. They're really low in sugar. Yeah, it's good stuff. Orange squeeze. And then their grape flavor, my other favorite flavor.
That's my favorite.
It also like, look how cute it like matches the backdrop here. It's like picking up the sunflowers behind you.
Oh,
it's a whole
yes.
thing.
Really cute. Can you get a picture of that?
Yeah, yeah, hold on.
Let's hold that can, Ash.
Mm-hmm.
So we are drinking, I think, have we talked about this before?
Yes, we have. We talked about this with Jody Moore.
Yes. Okay. Have you tried
the Trader Joe's ones? Yes. Stellar. Okay.
Delish. I actually just drank one yesterday. They're the sparkling green tea with pineapple juice.
Yeah.
And they have the black tea with mango juice.
Yeah.
Britt doesn't do black tea. I do. But these are also equally as delish.
Yeah. And this one I love because it actually has pineapple juice. It's only 5%. There's just a little bit of juice, but that's where the pineapple flavor is coming from, is like real juice.
So actual pineapple.
I always like that. Yeah. I'm cracking it right now. Do you have it?
I love the crack.
Mm-hmm. So good. Okay. One other thing we want to talk about that's not a bev, but we feel like we need to mention it while we have you on the show, Ash, because you told me about it, and it's these.
I know. I know. Can you even get enough? What's your favorite flavor? The Verb Energy Bars?
Yep. The Verb Energy Bars. Sorry. I'm showing her, and you people are like, what are we looking at?
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
No, she just showed these to me and I was like, the packaging alone.
Yep.
Stellar packaging, and great flavor, low calorie, and it's the energy that doesn't like make you jittery. I love these. I keep them in jars around my house.
Yeah. That's such a good idea. We have vanilla latte here and caramel macchiato, which I don't know what I'm more excited to eat. We might have to go splitsies on both.
Yep.
So you have to get the salted peanut butter.
Okay.
It's stellar. You have to get the red velvet and the cinnamon roll. Those are the three best flavors in my humble opinion.
Okay, amazing. I think what I like so much about it is sometimes I feel like, because I love a bev so much, my day is filled with bevs and I just want to chew on something. Like, okay, I'm doing a protein shake and then I've already had a bunch of water today and like, I just want to eat something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also want the caffeine benefit. So it's This is the win. This is the big W, guys. Yeah,
without having to chug a coffee or a monster.
Yeah.
Totally. Yes.
I was going to.
Yeah.
I'm a monster right now.
So instead, you get this. Okay. Yeah. So that's enough of all of the things we're loving, but we just really like to set the stage and get you enjoying something before you dive into this topic. So what we want to talk about today is how to get started on something and how to get finished. I don't know if that's proper grammar, but these are, can you say get finished? I don't know.
How to get started and finish.
And
finish. Be finished.
Be finished.
Finishing.
Okay. How about complete? Well, complete? I don't know.
Okay.
Listen, we're going to say you're going to get started. You're going to get finished. Done.
That's what we're going to say. Okay.
Get her done.
So we want to talk about that because Ashley, like I said, you know, she's really doing some amazing things. So we know she is starting and finishing things left and right. That being said, she's always evolving and leveling up. And so this process has to start over and over and over again for her. And for Amen. Many of you, you may be finding that to be true as well, that you don't just do it once. You have to keep doing it over and over and over again in all different aspects of your life. And so whether you are trying to do a new workout routine, or you want your mornings to flow a little bit different, or you just started a new business, or you're in the middle of an art project, or you're writing a book, you got to start. And then when the flame starts waning, you got to figure out how to keep going and finish. So Ash deals with this a lot with her team and her wellness group. So tell us what your process is, Ash.
Okay. This is I feel like I need to preface this by saying that in no way am I remotely an expert in this area. In fact, I mean, sometimes I feel like talking to the person who struggles with a certain topic is the easiest way to learn more about how you can overcome it. And this is definitely an area that I am constantly revisiting in my own daily practice, in my own work practice, because this is a trap I fall into very frequently, is I'm a really, really hard worker, but I don't always work smart. Or I have really big goals and I have a lot of hopes and I have a lot of new things I want to try or things I want to do. But maybe I hit paralysis and I don't know where to start, or I get going and lose steam before I finish. And the older I get, hopefully the wiser I'm becoming about kind of fine tuning that process for myself. And in my business, as Britt and Cassandra mentioned, I have a lot of opportunities to coach other people doing the same thing that I'm doing and really help them streamline their business efforts. And the most important thing, as soon as somebody decides that they want to join my wellness community and build their own business, the first task that I have them do before they start anything business related, before they start selling, before they build a website, before they start their social media platforms, is I make them go through the exercise of determining their why. And this is not a revolutionary concept. This is something that, you know, we hear frequently, but I like to go a little bit deeper than just determining your why. And determining your why is very simple in that it's, why are you doing this thing? Why are you setting this goal? Why are you starting this project? Why are you beginning this new chapter of your life? And for a lot of us, that, you know, answering that we think looks like one sentence. I'm doing it to make more money. I'm doing it for a sense of purpose. I'm doing it to be proud of myself. I'm doing it so that, you know, my spouse can be home with our family. I'm doing it so I can quit my other job. I'm doing it to get healthy. And those are all phenomenal answers, and they're correct answers. There's no wrong answer, but it's not enough. And what I mean by that is, Britt mentioned earlier, we get excited. We set a goal, we start something new. And in the beginning, we often tend to be really, really excited. But it is a guarantee that it's not going to be easy, because if it were easy, everyone would be doing it. Everyone would be running a marathon if a marathon were easy. But the only people running the marathon are the people who had the willpower and the strength and were confident enough in their why to withstand all the setbacks, the obstacles, and the discomfort. And so discomfort and obstacles and lack of belief and discouragement are all a guaranteed part of this process. And I like to, you know, remind that to people who are going to join me in my business that I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to pretend like it's not hard. If you're going to set a big goal, discomfort and setbacks are going to be part of the process. That is a guarantee. So how are we preparing ourselves to navigate those setbacks and obstacles when they inevitably occur? And the number one way is being crystal clear on your why. Your why will end up being the thing that is stronger than the setback, that is stronger than the discomfort, that is stronger than the obstacle or the disappointment or the inevitable failure that you will experience on the way to your goal. And it's going to be the thing that you hold on to, that when you wake up and you want to quit with every fiber of your being, you don't want to get out of bed and run the 9 miles you were scheduled to run while training for that marathon, and you start coming up with all of the excuses. The only way that you're going to be able to cross that hurdle and overcome all of those thoughts that are making you want to stay in your cozy, warm bed that morning are going to be when you remind yourself of your why. And it can't just be, I want to be able to say I completed a marathon. If that was your one sentence why, that's not enough. I tell people you have to go below your why, and you have to go several levels below your why.
Do you have like good questions that people can ask themselves to discover their why?
That's a great question. Mostly I will ask somebody what their first sentence is. And so when somebody decides they want to build a wellness business, I will say, why do you want to start this business? What is your why? And very often the answer will be, I need to help my family. We need to increase our income. And I will say, that's a great why. That's a very motivating why. It's going to, you know, helps a lot of things. Okay, why do you want to grow your family's income? And then they say, well, because then all the pressure isn't on my spouse. And I will say, okay, great. Why do you want to relieve pressure from your spouse? And then they go deeper and they say, because I want my spouse to be able to be home more with our kids. And then I say, okay, great. Why do you want your spouse to be able to be home more with your kids? And then they say, because I want to be creating more memories as a family, and I want our kids to remember us home together and traveling more. I say, okay, why do you want that? Well, because this is the life I want to help build for my children, and these are the memories that I want to make. Okay, why are these the memories you want to make? Well, because this is the type of parent I want to be. And this is, and we just keep going deeper. And the deeper and deeper we help somebody get with their why, we really get to the core heart and motivation of the reason that they want to do this. And sometimes we discover that, in fact, it has nothing to do with them wanting to grow their income. And maybe it has to do with something completely different, and they didn't realize that. But we're really getting to the core of it so that they're strong enough to stand up to the discomfort and the failure later, because they remember what they're working toward. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's important to lay out like how you keep going. Okay. So why, and keep going down, because it's really easy to say, and it sounds noble even, you know, I want to relieve my spouse of, you know, all the pressure and things like that. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a great thing. But like you're saying, is it enough to keep you going when it gets really hard? It's going to be deeper than that. And you have to keep going.
Yes, exactly.
But it's not your core why.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. So once you've kind of identified that and you feel like you get to the core, and you also have all these like sub whys that are probably also good to have in your peripheral, like all these reasons are there, and then you've got your core, then what?
Then I tell people that you have to be really clear on how you're going to define success. And success doesn't look one way, and it cannot be somebody else's definition of success for you or definition of success for themselves. You need to be crystal clear on what you are going to be proud of for yourself. And there should be several ways that you define success with this goal, because I want people celebrating themselves every step of the way. I want them celebrating the little successes. Let's say it's a marathon. I say this as if I'm running every day and training for a marathon or have experience. I am not, and I do not, but this feels like a general example. And one would be that, let's say I decided I was going to set the goal of running a marathon. I would define success straightforward as completing the marathon, like actually crossing that finish line. But also, I'm going to define success for me personally would be getting out of bed every morning when my alarm clock went off and actually putting on my running shoes. That would probably in the end be my biggest sign of success, would be the preparation towards this goal. And the same should be said for anything that we're setting a goal for. Does success look like a paycheck? Does success look like a finished product? Does success look like a consistency in your routine that maybe you didn't have before? Does success look like an improved relationship? Does success look like, you know, a difference in your strength and your energy levels? Like, depending on what your goal is, how are you going to define success? And being really clear on your why and then being really clear on how you're defining success is going to help you see if you're staying on track, and also help you, like I said earlier, celebrate yourself along the way. You have to celebrate the little milestones, because those are going to be the things that fuel you to keep going. If you don't know why you're doing something and you don't recognize when you're making progress, how are you supposed to continue to stay motivated?
Yeah, when I hear you saying this, and I could be speaking to a very narrow group right now, so sorry, but I like games. Like, I like video games. I like games on my phone. I like Sudoku. I like games. Okay. And so what you're describing to me makes it more fun, because it makes it sound like a game. It makes it seem a little bit more like, oh, like, yes, I see the start line and I see the finish line, but I also see like all these little wins in the mix that make it like a game that sounds fun to play.
Yes.
I'm not waiting until the very finish so that I can finally feel like I enjoyed myself. Like, when you're playing a game, like, you enjoy the whole part of it. It's not just about winning, you know?
It's like Mario Brothers, when you get to the menu and you go from one level to the next after you accomplish them.
Yes. Yes, but this is the thing. Some people might measure their success by like getting to the next level. And yes, that's great. But I am saying that, like, you know, I'm finding wins and getting all the star coins.
Again, yes, exactly.
Not about this stuff, but I'm just saying,
yes,
that is for you. What I like that you're saying, and I hope other people hear, is this is actually what makes it fun.
The harsh reality is that a lot of times when we're setting goals, we give ourselves a timeline. And I would say the majority of the time that the goal we've set for ourselves does not happen within that timeline, as hard as we're trying. And I spent many years of my life quitting. Like, I was a professional. I tried a lot of things and I gave a lot of effort and I worked hard. It wasn't for lack of trying, but when I didn't accomplish the goal in my said timeline, I told myself that that wasn't the goal for me, and I moved on to the next thing. And something, again, that I, you know, I'm grateful for wisdom of years, is that I've learned that it doesn't always happen in our timeline, and that can be incredibly discouraging, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. When I set a goal for myself in the business that I'm working in now, I did not hit my goal even close to the timeline that I had set for myself and the pressure that I had put on myself. And that was really difficult for me for a period of time. And I remember waking up one day and sitting down in prayer, because I hated how negative I was feeling about myself. And in this prayer, it was just like this aha moment, epiphany of, you haven't learned the lesson yet. Like, you haven't achieved the goal because you haven't learned the lesson I need you to learn in this. And that is the true gift. This is going to be how you end up defining success. Like, your definition of success is going to completely change by the time you cross that finish line. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the gift of this entire experience. And I think back to how many times that I walked away or quit before I learned the lesson I was meant to learn, because it I didn't see it happening in my time frame.
I love that so much. I think that's good to hear and hear that like admitted, because we when we're picking a goal and a time frame, we're really just guessing. And if we guessed wrong, that doesn't mean that like, yeah, like you're saying that like we have to be done and that I guess this isn't working. It just means that like, oh, it should be taken as good information so that now we can make an even more educated guess on the next step, right? So I love
so that. So much of that guessing though is actually a comparison trap, because normally our guess comes as a result of comparing our process to somebody else's without knowing what their circumstances are, or she was successful at this in this amount of time, so that's how I'm going to set the goal. And that's a great framework, but it becomes dangerous when we use it to compare ourselves to that person who may have achieved said goal quicker than us.
Yeah.
So that's the dangerous trap that we can fall into.
Yeah. And I'm curious too, Ash, is when you get to that, you know, timeline that you've given yourself and you're like, I didn't achieve this. I think it also goes back to like, and that's what's uncomfortable. That's the discomfort that you're talking about sometimes, is the discomfort of, I didn't achieve this. Okay, so I'm just going to move on to the next thing. And that might be right sometimes, but you kind of just have to be careful and make sure that you're not just trying to avoid discomfort and saying it wasn't for me and moving on to something else. And that you can differentiate between the discomfort that you can move through and going, yeah, this really isn't working the way I'm going to do it. And, you know,
so you're saying that like when you feel the discomfort from maybe something not going in the timeline you had planned, that brings discomfort. And that's a moment when you would revisit your why.
Yes.
That's a moment where you revisit your why so that you can like get back on the saddle. Yeah. I like that. Okay. So I feel like we've laid a little bit of a foundation. You know your why, you know how you define success. Now you're set up to actually get started. And so when I think about getting started on something, my experience usually goes something like, don't actually start, gain more information about that thing. Keep learning, keep like growing the like, expansive options. So
read one more book, listen to one more podcast.
Yes. In fact, that could better prepare you for actually starting. And the same thing is true when I'm going to go for a run outside. It's like actually just getting started is the hardest part. And that first mile of my run is horrible. Is like the most
agonizing.
Yes, I feel every joint. I hate every step. I, like Cassandra said earlier, like I'm not far from turning back.
Yeah.
It's like everything about it is very, very challenging for me. However, if I can get through like 10 minutes, if I can just stick with it for about 10 minutes, all of a sudden, like I actually can go a little farther than I thought. I can go a little longer than I thought. Now that I'm here, maybe I should just do a little more. And it's like, that's how momentum works for me, is it doesn't come before I start. It comes after I've just gotten started. And I feel like that's very true in the sense we always go back to Shira Gill talking about 15 minute wins and how you set a 15 minute timer and just see how far you can get. It's the same concept, right? Like just get started. And then usually that propels you into more work. But I'm curious for you, Ash, like, do you struggle with getting started? How do you get yourself started?
It's so interesting. Like, I love hearing your perspective, and just through different mentoring I do through my work, so many women that I work with, that is exactly, it's the getting started. It's the consumption of information. It's the research. It's the, well, I need to make sure I have all the information. I'm fully prepared, and mostly that I'm fully qualified for the task ahead of me.
Yes.
And I'm a little bit different in that. My challenge comes after the getting started. I tend to be a lot more impulsive, and I dive into something and I sprint into it, not even like sprint at a million miles an hour until I hit the wall where I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. this stopped being creative, this stopped being fun. Now we're to the discomfort and to the hard work part. And that's when I start to slow down. And that's when I start to be like, what other fun thing can I distract myself with? Where could I be creative somewhere else? Why don't I start a new project and get through the fun part first? And what ends up happening is I'm disappointed in myself. I'm discouraged. I start to resent my work because now I'm not seeing finished results. I'm not seeing that success that, you know, we talked about earlier. And I'm getting stuck in this constant creation without anything to show for it. And so my stumbling block tends to come right after that beginning phase, right after that. The first mile for me is the easiest and the most fun. I'm like, this is great. This is smooth sailing. And then I get to the bottom of the hill and I look up and I'm like, oh, we had to go up that hill? That's where this trail is taking us? Okay.
I thought it was taking me to the beach and it took me
exactly. Exactly.
That really is very interesting and probably good for maybe people to hear that like we're all wired a little different.
Yeah.
Because after I've done that first mile, I'm like, a mountain? Sweet. I'm warmed up. Like, let's go, you know? As opposed to like, I just didn't even want to go in the first place, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So where I don't necessarily.
I'm with Ash. I'll come up with a new idea every day, all day long. I'll get people excited to get going. I want you to get going. I want everybody to get going. The whole community to get going.
I'll design your logo.
And then I'm going to go take a nap.
Right before launch day. I will not. Oh, well, it's funny because Britt, I'll make you give advice to like my stumbling block portion of it. But when I'm coaching people on my team about the getting started portion and this need, you know, so often in my wellness community, there's this need to be like, I can't start sharing or I can't start building or I can't start developing and putting myself out there until I have all the information because I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to be wrong. I need to be an expert. I need all of these things first. And my advice to them is so much of life and specifically, you know, my business, so much is learn as you do. Like the best, you're not going to learn. Yes, you can get information from a book, but you're not going to develop your own personal testimony and experience of these things until you actually start doing them and learning as you go from those experiences. So I always tell people, no, you're starting today. And if you're so afraid of being wrong or not having an answer for somebody, your reminder is you're not an expert, you're an enthusiast. You're still learning. And give yourself an out. Give yourself a sentence that tells people, come learn with me about this. Come watch my process of learning. Come watch as I, you know, expand my learning and my knowledge and share that here with you and share my experience with you. But if I'm going to start training for a marathon, I'm not going to read 25 books on running and I'm not going to get a running coach and I'm not going to get a nutritionist and I'm not going to download 500 running guides. I'm going to wake up and set an alarm and go on my first run and be really sore and tired and then get home and think, gosh, I should probably have a running schedule. Where can I find one of those online? And then the next day I'm going to wake up and be like, gosh, I really cramped a lot today. I should probably be eating better. Let me research that online. And I'm going to learn as I go, but I'm just going to start. Otherwise, every day I'm going to find a new excuse for research that I need to do. But you want to know where I'm a total hypocrite? Because as I'm saying this, I'm like laughing in my brain, having these thoughts about like, well, there is an area where I really don't do this. So you both know that I'm working on a book, writing a book, well, in theory, because this is the thing that this is like my, what's even the word, like not kryptonite, but this is the hill that I'm dying on is I have read every book about memoir writing. I have taken so many online courses about how to get started on your memoir. I finally was like, you know what? You're looking too deep into memoirs. Even though that's what you're writing, you're getting pigeonholed. Just start reading and consuming and find really great authors that you love. So now I am consuming like 1,000 pages a week and I'm not a fast reader of books and listening to them on audio. And it's like this obsessive preparation to avoid the actual sit down and writing. And I justify it by telling myself, all of this research is so necessary and it's going to make your work so much better. Whereas my therapist is like shaking her head and she goes, yeah, that's great. Yes, that's a really great book, Ashley. Yes, yes, that's another really great book. Just wake up and write. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but she's like, no, no buts. Stop reading and just start writing. So I need to take my own advice.
You're in the research phase.
It's been 2 years.
But this is the thing, what I hear you saying, because I'm with you, like, and conceptually, of course, application is always going to teach you more than any textbook's ever going to teach you, right? Like, we just, that makes perfect sense. We learn through experience a deeper lesson than we can ever learn any other way. And that all is true. However, what I hear you explaining in, like, when you're trying to coach people to just get started, and when I'm hearing you explain the stumbling blocks you hit where it stops being fun and it's hard for you to keep going. I mean, I think what's happening on both sides of that is a thought error of some kind. Like, it's a thought that you have that is stopping you from just taking action. And it's probably a thought like, I need to learn more before I'm qualified to do this, or, you know, depending on what the category is. Like, if it's getting started, that's usually what it is for me. It's something along the lines of like, I'm not ready yet. I'm not quite ready. Like, I'm not quite sure. I'm unsure of how I want to start this. So I got to research more until I know how to start. I'm unsure. Those thoughts are the ones that are causing me to, like, in my action, my actions are to go like research and learn and learn and learn. And then what you're talking about is the times when you do, like when you were saying, majority of the time you do just get started on things, but then in the middle, it stops being fun. The thought error is that you think like, this isn't fun. This thing I have to do isn't fun. And so, yeah, then you don't want to do it, right? Like, I don't like this. I'm not enjoying this. Those are the thoughts that are stopping you from propelling forward and just finishing. And so I guess why I bring this up is because I think so often, like when we talk in conversation with our friends, that's just how we talk. I like this. I don't like that. I want to do this. I don't want to do that. And that is very acceptable. But if we're actually trying to figure out like why we do and don't do things, then we kind of have to take a deeper look and question some of those stumbling blocks, which very often are just our thoughts. Sorry, always just bringing it back to thoughts, but it is. No,
I like that. The thought error sandwich on either side of the project.
That's what it is.
The one where, let's say it's the writing the book where I'm not getting started because for me, I know the thought is, terrified that I won't be good enough at it, so I better keep learning. Terrified that I'll fail and this is my one chance and it won't be good and I'll forever be disappointed in myself that it wasn't good enough. So don't start if it's not going to be perfect or good enough. That whole, So that one, understood. Not saying that I know how to change my thought on that. The other one where you said, so yes, I don't have a problem getting started, but as soon as I stop enjoying the process, I tell myself, I don't enjoy this process. So walk me through, if I notice that I'm having that thought, let's just say this, I'm starting a newsletter, right? Which is true. And I just sent out first newsletter today. So I'm starting a newsletter, really, really fun putting it together, deciding what layout I wanted, which photos I wanted to input in there, what message did I want? Gosh, what freebie principle did I want to put in there? How often do I want to send this out? You know, what kinds of things am I going to talk about in here? Oh, this is lovely. I write the whole thing. That part's fun too. Now I have to figure out how to download the CSV file and all of the technical aspects of it. Ugh, okay. Shoot, now as soon as I send this, I have to commit to doing this once a month. How am I going to schedule that? Crud, now I have to get on a phone call with my graphic designer and my assistant who does all my planning of this. And that's not going to be a fun phone call, making a plan for the rest of the year that they're going to hold me accountable to in terms of the content that I put out in this newsletter. My newsletter was supposed to go out on September 1st. What is today? The 20th? And I put it off until the 20th because I know as soon as I commit to this newsletter, I'm also committing to all the not fun parts of it, right? So it took me 20 days to put it out there. So now you know all the negative thoughts I'm having about this thing that also makes me really happy, that is necessary for my business, that is creative and fun. But it took me 20 days to click send and publish on something that was ready 20 days ago. Because of those negative thoughts that I have. And that held me back from just doing the thing.
I'm going to let Britt coach you on like a specific thought about it. But one of the things that I think of now that always goes through my brain is that part is just part of the 50-50. There's the 50% good about everything and the 50% bad. And you did the 50% good. And now this is just the 50% bad. You know, it's what I'm always.
But half the time I stop at the bad because I'm like, well, it's bad. Instead right. of just being like, can't do this. Keep it, just keep going.
Well, and here's the other part of that too, is another thing that you can be thinking to yourself is, all right, well, so in September, I learned how to download the CVC, whatever you said. In September, I learned how to format it. In September, I had that meeting and I planned out the rest of my year. So now actually I do know how to do that. And maybe it's not in the 50% bad anymore. Maybe now it's just like it's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
Yeah. Well, so
I'm just like, it's still stupid.
Yeah. It's still stupid. I know. And this is the thing. It is funny because this, like the first part that you describe, literally leaning forward and like with a grin on your face, like it's just all so fun excited. And exciting.
Yeah, if you guys can see her.
And Cassandra's looking back at her with a smile ear to ear, and I'm leaning back shaking my head like none of that sounds fun to me. It doesn't sound fun to me. I would not want to do any of that. And so it's very interesting because you just think that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But but I don't think it is, which proves like not necessarily. It's
right, that's just what you thought about it.
It's just what you think about it. Okay. And so like you think you just don't like, or you don't, it's okay to have preferences. I'm not saying that like we all have like our natural inclination towards certain things. And if there's a given project in a high school class, every kid is going to enjoy different aspects of that project because we're all wired a little different. We're all unique in different ways, but that's actually the beauty of it. Where if there are areas where you aren't great at something, somebody is, and they're probably a phone call away.
They're probably on YouTube.
Or they're on YouTube. And that might not sound as fun to you as like the part that comes naturally that you feel good at. But the truth is, that like most of the time we like things that we feel good at, right? And so probably beneath the this isn't fun part is something, a thought like, I'm not good at this. This is the part I'm not good at, right? And so if that's really what's beneath it, like I'm not very good at this part, then of course, your brain is going to come up with all kinds of actions to avoid doing the thing.
I need you to know we're pausing because this, I mean, not pausing our recording, yeah. Pausing our thought, because I don't even know if you know that you just had the most aha moment with me ever, where I always tell myself it's because it's not fun. That is a lie. It's because I tell myself I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
And then we're bringing in shame. And feelings that I don't even realize are buried below, and that I disguise it as, well, it's just not fun anymore. And I just like to do the fun parts. I just like to do the creative parts. But really, it's this, oh my gosh, I'm not good at this part of my business. And that's embarrassing, or that's shameful, or that says so much about me, or I have to hide that, or I should be better at this by now, or I can't let people see this weak side of me, or whatever it is that I'm telling myself deep down that I don't even realize I'm telling myself. And being, I feel like just being aware that that's like the narrative I've created for myself in so many aspects of my life and business that is holding me back is, well, crap, this is the part I'm not good at. And why is that a bad thing?
Right.
Why do I have to, like, why does not being good at something even have to be a negative thought? Why can't it just be like, this is currently not a strength of mine currently. And why do I have to shy away from, I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Is that a thought that I need to change? Or is that a thought that I need to just rewrite the meaning behind it?
You have successfully listened to part one of this episode. So thanks for staying with us and come back for part two. We will clarify a lot of the conversation in this second half and we'll delve into what we're talking about when we're pointing out thoughts, why that's relevant, why it matters, what to do next, and so much more. The conversation just gets deeper and richer and better. And so please come back and listen to part two. And thanks for listening to part one. Be well.